Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
DMVR Draft Pod! We are doing it, as always, presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the homies at Breckenridge Brew. We got a bucket right there. It's that kind of evening for a bucket of Breck Brew. Rockies opener? I know these guys are excited. In fact, look at us.
Look at
us.
A
little cap synergy. And yeah, always a good time to open up some Breck Brews with the homies, especially during draft season. Lots going on during draft season. J. Mike, welcome back in the beautiful state of Colorado. You've been busy covering some college hoops. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I've been everywhere. Been on the road for 2 weeks, spent more time in airports than I ever have in my life. But I'm excited. I came back at the good time because now we've got all the chaos happening with some of these mocks, and you're seeing some drastic risers, and I'm excited to talk about some guys we like that are, you know, potentially going to fall. So I'm doing good. Good to be back.
Tis the season, baby. Tis the season. It's actually kind of crazy when you do the math how close this draft is. And we've got some exciting draft plans related to Breckenridge Brewery as well that we will unveil soon enough. Hankster, how are you doing? Hank is in shock because producer Yaya just ran on set.
Yeah. The hell was that about? Yeah, I guess you can't see me either because our producer's playing with jiggly peas in the pockets. Yeah, no, I'm doing good. I'm getting ready to sit down for this live stream tonight.
Hell yeah.
5 to
hell
11. Yeah. We're going straight through. We got tune college in. Basketball games and the Avs.
Don't miss
and
it.
The Rockies. And yeah, I mean, that's my plan for the day.
Okay. I love it. It's so nice to be back. We did take last week off to focus on March Madness. We owe it to you. And man, especially since you and me sat on a draft set together, J-Mike, lots has changed. Our guy, Zach Stevens, was at the NFL owners meeting, and Sean Payton had what I thought was a somewhat innocuous quote when asked, would you give me the exact back and forth with Ian Rappaport and Coach Sean Payton?
Ian Rappaport had reported, which is fun because that's his name basically, the Broncos are not all that interested in moving up.
Uh-huh.
So at the owners meeting, Ian Rappaport asked Sean Payton directly, is it realistic for the Broncos to trade up? And Sean said, yeah, it's realistic.
Yeah, and you are convinced they will take a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would disagree with you.
They better not.
Fair to say you are convinced they will also move up for a quarterback.
So, if not for the whole Russell Wilson debacle,
you've heard of that one.
I would say there's about an 85% chance that the Broncos trade up and get a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
However, as we remember, the Russell Wilson debacle did happen, which means that these
famously
owners might not love the idea of giving up a whole bunch of picks to go get a quarterback who could save the franchise because they just tried that and it didn't work.
I mean, this would be the first year in the new ownership's tenure that a first-round pick wasn't traded.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So
just put the track record.
Now I put it more at like 60% chance of trade up, 40% chance of not.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, maybe they think of the Russell Wilson debacle as its own little thing and trading up for the quarterback,
right,
which has a terrible, terrible history. Never trade up for a quarterback.
What?
Don't trade up for quarterbacks.
I'll pull up the list.
Josh, never trade up into the top three, I guess, is the real, okay, which is a little different. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes more sense.
It does, because then you're looking at, you know, Mitchell Trubisky. You're looking at you're looking at Jared Goff. You're looking
out, honestly.
I mean, they traded him away. I don't think they give up all those pieces just to trade him away.
Played in a Super Bowl.
He did, but still got traded by the team that drafted. So, like, how well did it really work out? That's the one that's debatable. What's not debatable is Trey Lance, for example.
Bad one.
Yeah. I guess you go back to Michael Vick. Good one, but that was a long time ago.
Boy, that's eons ago. In that Michael Vick trade, Chargers trade out of it. Falcons trade up. Chargers end up with LaDainian Tomlinson, and Drew Brees is the first pick of the second.
Wow.
So I don't know if the Falcons won that trade.
I don't know either.
I would take Brees and LT over.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm missing some more recent ones, but basically when teams have traded up for a top three quarterback, hasn't been good.
Okay,
I mean, they're probably getting to the top three anyway, so maybe there's other stuff that we like.
It seems like in many ways people are taking this hook and sinker, the trade up thing.
Yes.
Which is fine. I can see the logic in trading up to get your guy, which I think is what Sean Payton's saying, is if we have our guy, we'll trade up to get him. We're doing a little mock roundup. Matt Miller's where we'd start on ESPN as the Broncos moving up to take J.J. McCarthy, trading 12th pick and two future firsts. J-Mike, we talk about this every single year around this time of year, how it's smokescreen season. Where do you sit on this? And then I'd like for you both to answer me. How would it benefit Sean Payton if he's attempting to move up to say that he's interested in moving up? Like, this to me makes much more sense as a smokescreen than otherwise. But first, I want your take on all this, J-Mick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how it gains you any leverage by putting it out there that you're interested in moving up, other than just floating, hey, we're open for business, and maybe you're just trying to throw a fishing line out there and see what somebody might throw your way. But yeah, I mean, I almost think it's more likely that if you're really open about the possibility of moving up being realistic, you're probably actually more interested in moving down, would be my guess, just based on
right
now. And
right.
I mean, that's the tough part, especially with what I do and following the draft and following college sports, because right now it's very similar with like the college basketball coaching stuff. You'll see all these reports like, you know, Nico Medved and Steve Alford are connected to this job. And it's like, are they actually connected to this job, or what is the purpose of this information? Is it their agent trying to leverage a restructured deal? Is it trying to like actually get another offer? And there's so much of that when it comes to these teams and the posturing of how you're trying to position yourself, you know? And like you said, to me, immediate alarms. Like, I do think it could just be as simple as Sean being like, yes, in theory, it would be realistic for us to move up if our guy happens to be there under the right circumstance. We're not just, it's not just off the table. But if they were a serious player to jump into that top four, I don't think you would be talking about it.
Yeah. The tough part for me, though, is that, like, it'd be one thing if it was like, okay, opening statement. Hey, guys, we want to trade up. You know, it's a little bit different than Ian Rappaport saying, is it realistic for the Broncos to trade up? Like, it's tough to sit there and be like, nope, just not realistic.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, at that point, you don't really gain anything by saying that either.
Exactly. So you kind of just, you have to ask the question, there's answer. I mean, which is a good way to ask the question, I guess, because
I think it's, you just take everything with a grain of salt and understand that what's actually being said very likely has an ulterior motive, and what's not being said is probably just as important, if not even more important, than what they're willing to go on record with.
Totally.
Right. And then the other part of this is who could be Sean Payton's guy. Something we kind of talked about in the Bill Parcells Rules episode and a few other episodes in this offseason. I'm convinced in the stuff he was trying with Taysom Hill, even in drafting Garrett Grayson, the only guy he drafted in the top 100.
Yep.
I was at Grayson's pro day. He ran a 4.5 flat. He looked like just a redonkulous athlete.
And he was a low 4.4 guy before he blew his knee out his sophomore year. Like, that was, he moved really well.
A little Penixy, some would say.
Well, that's the big question. I mean, you see the pro day, obviously, that's the big story. What'd he run, like a 4.56? Pretty good.
Oh, for, even better.
What was it?
4.46.
4.46.
4.46 is the next topic. I couldn't believe it.
That
this
doesn't
morning,
match what I watched at all.
Exactly.
This year.
It does not match. And it feels like some of what I'm getting from Zach is Sean Payton likes the athletes, yeah?
Yeah. Well, no, he said, Zach says no, he does not like athletes.
He likes processors, right?
Yeah, he likes guys with brains. He doesn't care about athleticism.
But then he identifies all the athletic guys as guys that are Sean Payton guys.
Exactly.
Which I would agree with. I mean, to me, that's the that's Sean Payton 2.0 as a QB evaluator wants to run the running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And how intrigued could you be by a Penix? Also, did you guys see the Jaden video, Jaden Daniels video that was circulating?
With his elbow in the throwing motion?
Well, no, I saw that mess up, but him like getting just walloped 24/7 at LSU and not doing a good job of avoiding big hits, which is like my number one concern.
It's, well, I mean, it's, yeah, the dude's got skinnier thighs than me. And I mean, that's the problem. People want to throw out these comparisons to Lamar Jackson, to Michael Vick, to like these electric scramblers. And he has the athleticism. It's not that
running
he doesn't
ability
have those
wise,
traits.
It's a good comp, yes.
But those dudes don't get hit. You
way
watch Lamar,
elusive.
Like he's
yes.
even like he just takes the right angle, even when he's not sliding, like he finds a way to get to the sideline at the right angle so that he's not taking these massive open field shots. And you watch, I mean, you all year long. Every big game. Bama got him, tagged him a couple times. Ole Miss tagged him a couple times.
He's out of the second half against Bama because he gets knocked out.
And I just...
Georgia almost slams him to the ground a couple times, like real
and those
bad.
Those are hard habits to break. Like we have seen historically, guys that hold on to the football too long, that take on too many hits. And that doesn't just stop when you're playing faster defenses with more experienced guys.
100%. It's what you always got to factor in. And frankly, it's become a big part of the evaluation with these running quarterbacks. I remember that being a big part of the Kyler breakdown was like, look, I know he's small, but I love how this guy slides. I love how this guy tippy toes out the sideline and avoids hits. Like he's elusive. We were saying the same shit about Lamar, right? Jalen Hurts has a squat record, so he can take on more damage, right?
Because yeah, I mean, they're not even comparable. So like Jalen versus when you look at his body size versus
absolutely,
it's a middle linebacker versus a punter. If like so what totally, it actually looks
right,
like,
right, 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 slot receiver compared to a punter type deal, exactly. So that's the part of all this is figuring out who really could be Sean Payton's guy. Where is the separation? Another mock I saw, Danny Kelly, the Ringer, as J.J. McCarthy dropping to 12. Justin, you were saying earlier, like, no way that happens.
I mean, J.J. could be the guy that everybody says his stock is rising and it's not actually. But with quarterbacks, it feels pretty rare, and it just seems like he's the guy that interviewed really well at the combine that has the darling. And I think, honestly, J.J. probably benefits the most from, like, the mystery. He, you know, it's... He, you know what he has in terms of the plus traits. There just isn't a large enough sample size of throwing, but you because there isn't a large enough sample size, you also don't see him making the mistakes that some of these other guys have just because they threw the ball three times as much.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
It's true.
And you agree on JJ not dropping, Hank?
You just can't expect it.
It's crazy that now 12 would be dropping.
I don't know they're going to go 1-4 like everybody's talking about, but four quarterbacks in the top 7 or 8 feels like a lock.
Yeah. I'd say top 6.
Yeah, probably 6. It's
that
when
Giants
you look at the
pick
Giants
feels
pick.
Very frisky, yeah.
And this would be potentially a historic climb for quarterbacks in this class. Everybody always says, you know, quarterbacks throughout the process, they go up, they go up. They don't go up too much though, and they certainly don't go up like this. And I went through the numbers in like January, and I'm not going to dig them up now, but I do think that what I see is a position for somebody to fall. You know, you have, it's not going to be Caleb Williams, he's up there, but with this whole Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, I wouldn't be surprised if one slips. And it's not probably going to be like an Aaron Rodgers slip all the way down. But I do think if there was ever a time when we're going to have kind of like a surprising drop for a quarterback, this could be the year. like the Drake May buzz.
Who would be your gut if I was like, this is the guy that's going to fall?
Have Hank you heard? And all the NFL guys are going to tell you Drake May.
Have you heard any Drake May buzz recently?
It's been a while.
It has. And maybe it means nothing.
I see it on NFL Twitter. Yeah. I'm part of the Drake May hive. So I'll.
Okay.
We'll like rally together when we hear too much slander every couple weeks, you know, and throw out some sick passes. Mm-hmm.
The Trubisky comps but aren't I think fair that's to it. Him, I no. don't think. It's just because they come, it's literally, it's the same.
We yeah. see it every year.
It's well, the uniform.
It's you literally CJ Stroud was getting Justin Fields. I'm yeah. like, you're ignorant.
My worst thought that I've ever had about Drake May
oh, no.
is,
oh no,
how is he different than Drew Lock? And you answer the question, it just takes like a couple seconds of thinking about it, and it's like, well, Drew Lock, I mean, there were some more bad throws. There were more bad throws on tape.
Yeah.
He's a little bit shorter, too. It's like he's not the freak.
Yeah, build. Yeah. I think it comes down to Drake May's bigger, faster, stronger type deal.
Probably.
Arm strength, too.
Arm strength, too?
That's what I'd say.
Probably. More easier arm strength, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. But you look through the
maybe
numbers.
Maybe more consistency operating from the pocket.
Yeah. And you look through the numbers, though, and the numbers... They will point you toward Drake May, but they don't point you way toward Drake May.
Junior year stats?
That's we'll see that was Drew Locke's good year too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'll pull those up now.
Yeah. No, I mean that's the type of quarterback he is.
Yeah.
I think May's going to be solid. I like him a lot.
I feel like he'd be a set. Set and forget first overall pick in most drafts.
I agree. Really? I don't think so. We have some prospect fatigue with him.
I think, I mean, there's some Sam Howell
well, he's
there.
Coming off his worst, he's coming off a, his junior year was better than his, or his sophomore year was better than his junior year. North Carolina was a better team.
Well, there's way more talent around
way
him,
more
too.
Talent. Way more talent, you know, better season. Oh,
and how did things change if, what was it, the receiver that came eligible 6 games in? Like, what? What if you get him for the whole year? You
yeah,
know?
Tez yeah. Walker.
Yeah, right? Tez Walker.
Yeah.
I was going to say Brown, but he was 2 years ago.
So passing yards, it's 43-21 for May, 39-64 for Drew Lock. So that's a drop-off. Drew Lock, 44 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. 44 is a big number.
No, he was amazing. I mean, he was at the time the all-time SEC leader in several passing stats.
Drake May, 38 touchdown, 7 interceptions. So yeah, like the numbers point you toward Drake May, but they don't point you to like clearly Drake May is the guy. Even I guess I'd have to go back and see Drew's combine measurements. I know he was listed 6'4", 220 in college. He's not that big, obviously. Like Drake May has an inch on him for sure.
Yeah.
But I just there's just a tiny bit too much Drew Lock there for me to be thrilled. And I think in terms of Drake May dropping. It's because that senior year was nothing special. Like, it was a good senior year, or junior, final year, I guess is the easiest way to say it. When you, like, look at how he did against the rest of the country. But when you compare him to, like, the other 5 quarterbacks that are kind of in, like, this top 6 that's kind of separated itself, they're not good numbers compared to those
Drake
guys.
Mays.
Yeah, they're not good numbers compared to those guys. And it's tough because you're comparing them to great players, obviously.
What about the sophomore season, though?
Sophomore season was great.
I think Sam his biggest selling season point was great. Is what you see, what you like about him feels very translatable. And yeah. like as much as, and you know, like Williams is the guy, he's QB1.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you love the ability to do all these insane things out of script, these just absurd throws where, you know, you're getting to the sideline and how'd you even let go of that on your back foot? Like, are you going to be able to do some of that stuff mm-hmm. in the NFL? And you see, like, Patrick Mahomes does some of that. So yep.
So it's possible.
It's possible. But I just think, like, with a guy like May, maybe he can't do some of that freakish stuff that Williams can. Mm-hmm. But when, I mean, you look at the throws downfield, when you look at the throws in tight windows, processing, like, ball placement, there's just a lot to like about him.
Yep. Penix, though, that pro day really does have
we
me
had
just
a
like,
super chat that talked, said that he thought Penix's pro day was unsurprising.
Yeah, we'll get into wow. that in just That's a sec because I do want to talk about Penix. But first, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Breckenridge Brewery, the official craft beer of DMVR. Breck Brew has a beer for any occasion and, you know, great way to watch a game. Have that extra flavor. feel Colorado AF, and get drafty, you know?
Get drafty.
Yeah, yeah. They've been doing it for 33 years, and, you know, they're an OG partner. Whatever your favorite is, a little Avalanche Amber Ale, a little Mile High City, Broncos Country Pale Ale, Fun Slinger, or even a Good Company Hard Seltzer, Breck has a beer for you. Check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com or go check out the farmhouse and find a brew near you.
Beer garden's sick. Like, now you talk about, you know, a lot of things we love about Coors Field, baseball season, having a beer in the sunshine. Very applicable. Nice views. Sun is out. You can have a beer. I mean, doesn't get much better than that. Also doesn't get better than our homies at Fubo. They've got 140 plus channels of sports shows, movies, and news. Great way to watch the Avs tonight. You can stream live TV from any device. You can sign up immediately with a free trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle.
It's a beauty.
Just sign up and start watching. You get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included, which was awesome. Like, I just had it preset to record all the Nuggets and Avs, which is super convenient. You know, you've got all kinds of stuff coming up with the U.S. Open, the UEFA Euro qualifiers, the Ryder Cup. It is sports heaven. Watch all your favorites. NBA, NHL action with Fubo. Go to www.fubo.com/DNVR to sign up. Get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
Boom. And then there's Penix.
There's Penix. Penix is a freak.
Like, Penix is a freak. Let's go to Hojack Borsman. He says, I'm not surprised with Penix's 40. If you watch the Texas tape, his guards were destroyed. He has explosive feet when avoiding pressure in the pocket. No, he does. And I talk about those, like, how he buys himself that extra time with the hip. That's, like, explosive lower half. It's just with his injury history and with the arm inaccuracy and pocket presence he already had, this changes things. And I've talked about this with Bo Nix. Like, how high do his raw traits tick, right, to justify taking a gamble on him? Bo Nix is doing that with this kind of testing.
Yep. I mean, so 4.46 in the 40.
Yeah.
Penix, you mean?
Penix, yeah. Bo Nix, Penix, yeah. Penix.
Yeah, yeah. Bo Nix has to do the Jalen Hurts thing, but Penix is actually doing it. Okay. Yeah.
Penix is crazy. So, I mean, if he had done that at the combine, it would be the fifth fastest 40-yard dash time by a quarterback at the combine since 2000. You run through.
That's nuts.
Oh, it's insane. Justin crazy. Fields ran a 4.45. You look at Vince Young, 4.48. Marcus Mariota, 4.52. Colin Kaepernick, 4.53. Russell Wilson, 4.53. Cam Newton, 4.56. Like, you're talking about the best straight line speed of basically, I mean, just about anybody who's gone through this entire process. And on top of that, so the 36.5-inch vertical, awesome. Awesome. Measures in at 6'2.25", 216 pounds. Pretty good for him. On top of that,
at the Senior Bowl, he also showed he has one of the biggest hands in this class. Always a metric the final that correlates.
Piece. Yeah. Top 10 largest hands in the history of the combine. In the history of the draft, because I think that factored in, actually, pro day guys who got drafted.
When he holds your hand, you feel safe.
Bro, I want to hold his hand so bad, I got to feel that thing. Because that's how Russell Wilson was, too. I remember the first time I shook his hand was the day he signed that massive contract. And he shook my hand, I was like, holy shit. And it all just clicked. It was like, how is Russell Wilson so good, even though he's so small? The hand is so big. Like, he can hold on to the ball. He's flinging that thing all over the place. Like,
John Stockton, Jordan, all the greats. Big hands.
Yeah, and everybody wants to make the jokes like, it's hand size. No, hand size doesn't matter. It kind of matters when you're holding on to the football with one hand.
Yeah, it matters. It helps a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, Penix, to me, if he's not a first-round pick, the NFL's dumb. That's where I'm at. And I don't think he will be a first-round pick still, just because it seems like all the vibe is he isn't.
That
he should be a first-round pick.
And raw tools also allows you to gamble on the age a little more.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a first-round pick.
Yeah?
I think this changes a lot of things. I think somebody will take the gamble late, get that fifth-year option, take a flyer on him. You know, I mean, throwing the football, like,
there's too much to like.
He's in the pocket, man. He's rips it. Just rips it. And I know his numbers fall off a cliff when he's, like, out of pocket, out of structure stuff. That was not his game. But
watch Sean Payton.
Exactly. It's not really what you want anyway.
And to me, he was really good at extending
play. In like, the pocket, so yes.
Even if
well, he's
you're
got
not,
that like Brady in the pocket, yeah. Avoid the rush, step up, buy yourself a second and a
Breeze,
half.
Right?
Breeze like, as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He feels very, very Sean Payton-y. And I think if you take away the knee injuries, it's not even a question.
The scout report yeah. combined with these results, it feels like a lot of what we've talked about. Combining old school Sean Payton-y Val Drew Brees with some of the new school stuff he's wanting to try with the athleticism and what have you. Yeah, Matthew talks about the Indiana tape. It's raw, but he also lights up the Big Ten. He's bombing it deep to Fogle. I mean, we are...
I remember watching that Indiana, that COVID Indiana year. Man, they were so much fun just ripping the ball downfield.
So here's, we asked the question, who's going to be best in year one a lot? Or like, who's going to be like the best at their peak? Which of these quarterbacks you think is going to be the best in year 13?
It's probably mostly Caleb Williams to most
Still?
Of these.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I mean, if
I
you want to
be my best Caleb guess. Williams,
that's fair. I mean, at that point, he's 30, 35. So the athleticism isn't what it used to be. He's probably not doing, like, I think he's a better passer than Russell Wilson, obviously, so you're not expecting that sort of drop-off, but I think there's room for some concern. What?
Penix is 37.
Penix is also 37 at that point, yeah, but that game age is a little better. I think there's a real case to be made for Penix in year 13 to be the best of the group.
Can we just have a quarterback that's functional in year 5 at this point? I'm not.
That's probably
year
better.
13. I'm
that's fair. That's fair. Well, but like Jaden Daniels, you get the guy, the athletic guy. You expect that drop off to come before those other guys.
I was gonna say if you're phrasing it through that, I think it's Drake May.
Yeah,
because he's not gonna be running around that's as fair. Much. I think you know he's got the big arm, he's got the big body. I think that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. I think he can take hits a little bit better than some of these guys. Daniels, you're worried that he's skinny and gonna break. Williams, as much as you love him, he's got the sturdy base. You're not really worried about his body type, but
Russ has a sturdy base.
But I mean, you know, just inherently that play style opens up the possibility of taking a big hit or just getting hit at the right angle while you're running. Like,
or the big does question he need it? Really is year 5.
Yes.
And that is kind of the question with Penix is as much as we like all that we see in year 5, is he going to be worth that boatload of money to then when he gets that money, be able to build a team around him? Or once you give him that contract, is he one of those guys that you get buyer's remorse about?
But taking a flyer on
how
Penix
high is his ceiling, right?
Be a better use of your resources / gamble than basically accept, like, we're going to take these 4 or 5 years and hope that Penix, if nothing else, is just an average NFL quarterback, a competent starting NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. If he happens to hit, great, and we'll figure that out down the line. But I like, to me, give me that over taking a retread on name your Stidham, Mariota, who so I think his chances of popping are pretty decent. You get the rookie contract. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have to give up multiple first round picks to go get him. You feel better about that. Cause that's the thing about if you do trade up for any of these quarterbacks with where you're at in the cap situation. And I know some of that is kind of overblown, like you make a couple moves and you free yourself up $30 million. We see it in the NFL all the time. But like, what's the point of trading 3 first round picks to go draft a quarterback that you can't build a team around anyways? You waste the entire purpose of having the rookie quarterback. To me, Penix, it's all the potential reward with almost none of the risk.
To me, unless you have a top 3 quarterback, or depending on how the league is, maybe like top 5 is good enough if you got a bunch of quarterbacks at the time, you should not be giving them second contracts.
No.
Because it's just not worth the money and you can't build a good enough team. Like when you're talking the $50 million, $55 million bucks a year contract, I mean...
Well, I think we see that with a team like Minnesota. We're just not going to give Cousins this money.
And it's the right decision. And I kind of think Herbert might be below that line.
Whoa.
I think he might be. I'm not convinced, and I know it's different when you're making the decision because if you let that guy walk and he's great somewhere, then you just can't have that for PR reasons.
There's also an opportunity cost of how hard will it be to replace this guy.
Well, yeah, definitely. It's the toughest. That's the argument is even if this asset isn't worth actually paying, can we actually replace it to an even same range. Like,
right. Totally. While this asset might be overpaid, is there any other asset that we wouldn't be overpaying even more?
To me, though, I mean, if you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you better think that there's a real chance that he's a top three quarterback in the NFL, because that's how you have to build a team these days, is either
top seven. Even if you're going to be conservative, top seven, though.
If you get the seventh best quarterback, I wouldn't give him a second contract, the seventh best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think that the cost is just not worth it. I think that I'd rather spend that money elsewhere.
I think you're missing out on guys who are going to win you Super Bowls.
Yeah,
that's fair. It's never happened before, though.
A top seven quarterback winning a Super Bowl?
Peyton Manning in 2015? He's not a top five quarterback.
No. But more than 12.5% of your salary cap, which would be about top seven
sure,
money.
Sure.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so you've never been able to pay a guy who isn't Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes that much money and win a Super Bowl. Like, it just hasn't ever happened. And that could change, and it probably will change just because there's so many teams that are paying quarterbacks that much that the pool is larger. But you have to be drafting with the idea this guy can do that. And I look at Michael Penix Jr. and don't see a reason he can't be C.J. Stroud or can't be a Joe Burrow. Now, I wouldn't put money on that because it's just the odds are so slim of that hitting. Of these six guys, there's one probably who's going to wind up being that good. And maybe there winds up being two and it's a good year. But you look back the past decade, there's one per year who winds up being that guy. So I don't think there's anything about Penix that precludes him from being one of the very best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he should be a first-round draft pick.
I do, too. I want to get into a mock that actually has a scenario that would make us all happy. I need to go back to a question we have not answered, which is, who's the most likely quarterback to drop? The Broncos also signed Josh Reynolds. I want to know how that impacts some draft stuff. And I've got some fun props to get into. Mm. So lots to still talk about. The mock I want to get into, Josh Edwards, CBS Sports. CBS Sports doesn't get the credit they deserve for their draft coverage. They do it year-round. They do it with like three analysts. They've produced some really good analysts. Like, that's where Brugler came from. They've had some other ones that I'm blanking on who are quite good in the space. This Edwards on CBS Sports has Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Jaden Daniels 3, no trades. At 4, the Vikings are trading up to get J.J. McCarthy with the Cardinals.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And then it's kind of Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, kind of chalky. Romo Dunze goes to the Bears with their second pick. Brock Bowers goes 10th overall. Now it's the Cardinals who traded down with Minnesota at 11. They take Jared Verse. And the Broncos trade down with the Rams at 12. So the Rams trade up to get Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman from Texas. And the Broncos trade down to 19. And that's where they get Michael Penix. That to me sounds like a dream scenario. That to mm-hmm. me sounds a little Philadelphia Eagles in the Jalen Hurts draft where it's like, look, we don't have a guy. We don't know if we'll find our guy now, but we're kind of doing some draft asset management. We're moving down, and we're going to take a roll of the dice because you never know. And Penix in that range sounds like a phenomenal deal.
I mean, you're gaining draft capital on top of it when you don't have a ton of picks anyways, which you love that. And like we said, I mean, it's just if you hit it, awesome. I mean, if you miss, it's still a missed first-round pick. That stings. But if you trade up and you miss, you're essentially missing on 3 years worth of first-round picks. So to me, it's just like risk-reward and yep. kind of going back to what we said earlier. Why not?
100%. And it also comes back to this who could drop conversation. You and I, we believe in Drake May. I don't know about three firsts. Two firsts, definitely, I'd move up to go
I
get him.
I would, too.
In Sean Payton's hand, what have you. And Hank's skeptical. You probably don't feel that way.
No. I wouldn't want to give things up. Like, if he's there at 12, that'd be awesome.
Right.
If you could get if you could find a way to move up without giving up another first-round pick, where that's future second-round pick, something, I would probably be down for that.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
I feel like that about the rest of, like, I love Jaden Daniels. His peaks are fucking awesome. I also have my concerns. His willingness to throw over the middle of the field, accuracy, timing, anticipation when it's not a sideline, go ball. Similar questions that we've had with Tua, Mac Jones, Fields, CJ Stroud, Burrow, Mayfield, Kyler Murray, these guys who come out of these incredible offenses with great play calling, phenomenal wide receivers. I mean, a wide receiver, if he comes to the Broncos, Jaden Daniels.
It's definitely a worse receiving core than what he's had in college.
Marvin Mims, yeah. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, worse than Brian Thomas and
yep. I'd say same Malik thing for Neighbors. Most of these guys. Caleb yep. Williams would be the same deal. You look at that USC receiving core the last couple years.
Maybe not last year where they fell off a little bit. I mean, you still have the Arizona transfer, Brendan Rice. I mean, it's not bad. I'd take the Bears wide receiving core over that probably.
Yeah, definitely.
LSU and Bears is interesting. The fact that it's even a conversation, and by the way, the Patriots, worse wide receiving core, no doubt, than most of these guys. Hey, and Penix is the same thing, okay? He's thrown to some studs as well over there at Washington. And his offensive, you know, play callers just got the Bama job. So it tells you what the industry thinks of those dudes.
I like DeBoer.
Daniels, I wouldn't move up for Daniels like that.
Really?
And JJ, I feel like on this pod, I was early on JJ. I would never do that for JJ. And I think JJ's great, but I just like, why would I give up a future first when A, Penix is still around, and B, I don't feel strongly that JJ is a better prospect than Shedeur Sanders, than Carson Beck, or than Quinn Ewers, the top three prospects coming out next year. And obviously, I wouldn't move up for Penix, who Hank's telling us the industry seems to feel is probably more of a non-first rounder than mm-hmm. he is a first.
That's the vibe. We'll see how it changes today.
Justin, do you disagree with any of those guys? Is there anyone who you're like, well, Spencer Rattler, I would move up for, you know, like, I don't know. I mean,
no, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, like, five quarterback class and they're all going to go mm-hmm. between the first two rounds and mm-hmm. outside of that maybe you take like I understand the arm talent. I've just seen Spencer Rattler play too much college football to buy into like this guy is totally not going to be what I just watched for the last 4 years at two different schools. I love Carson Beck. I think he's QB1 next year. I think his rise is going to be insane.
Carson Beck's really good.
I'd be very content with just punting and waiting for a guy like him a year from now, trying to add as much talent as you could, get a young receiver, maybe a young tackle if you went. But I also think with this ownership group, I think there is a factor of like you do kind of need to generate some buzz and like excitement around this team. Yeah. And I don't know if that's actually the smart team building way to think, but I do think that is a factor when it comes to you know, ownership and stuff. Like we got 80,000 tickets to sell here. That, you know, this has been a dwindling team. I can tell you the atmosphere in the stadium has not been good the last couple of years. People are getting fed up. I do wonder if there's an element of like, we, after falling flat on our face with this Rust deal, we just need one, a guy that people are going to buy jerseys for. You've got new uniforms coming. Two, like, just to keep people talking about you.
Yeah. I would trade up for Jaden Daniels. I think that's one where...
Three firsts?
I don't think I could do three. It's probably what it costs, but two firsts I would do. And maybe I would throw something else in, too. I mean, I wonder how crazy
the NFL gets about him.
It's just, I mean, the combination of tools. When you look at, I mean, the starting point is, how do you describe Jaden Daniels? Well, led the country in yards per carry. Led the country in passer rating. Won the Heisman. So you're like, okay. So the guy's like, you could not ask any more possibly.
Size on paper looks prototypical.
On paper.
218, right?
I mean, if I just see that on paper,
Exactly. We just went through our concerns with him being too.
So you just start from that. And so it's like the ceiling obviously is astronomical. The ceiling is you have, when Lamar slows down, maybe the guy who's the best running quarterback in the NFL. If not, he's probably number two throughout his career.
Better arm coming out than Lamar.
Better arm coming out. Lamar's already won two MVPs. The deep ball's insane. And that in some ways could be the toughest part for a quarterback. Accurate. Yeah, pinpoint so accurate. You just have all of these different tools, and you'd say, like, okay, so what if he couldn't run?
Throws on the run pretty well.
Exactly. Too. Like, if he couldn't run, if he was a statue, he's an easy first-round pick to me, you know? And then you throw in the fact that he does run like that, and all of a sudden, if your goal is to find the best quarterback in the NFL, that's a guy who has every tool possible, and it's... You still don't bet on it happening, but just based on the tools and the production that's come from those, I just couldn't pass that up. Like, it might just be too good to be true, but that guy's a freak. Honestly, close to a Caleb Williams type of freak.
I think his green flags are really green and his red flags are really red.
He's just so skinny.
What do you want to fixate on, you know?
He's like, just so skinny. But Lamar didn't slide either in college.
No, but he didn't take the shots.
No. Teach him to slide, and all of a sudden...
Could no one catch up to Lamar, man.
That, too.
Also true.
That spin against Florida State, I'll never forget that. Sophomore year, Lamar was just like...
Also, Lamar crazy. There's like that high school highlight of him like stopping on the goal line.
The sickest.
Everybody saw Lamar Jackson like a decade before he was the NFL MVP.
Yep. It's just amazing.
Receivers?
Yeah, Josh Reynolds. How likely do you see the Broncos targeting a wide receiver? We can all agree, no matter what the round, they're drafting a quarterback. No matter what.
Yes, that's the one you know for sure.
Wide receiver, you know, it's a deep class, and they're always fun, and Sean Payton's still building that core in his identity. Now you do have Tim Patrick, granted, 1 year. Courtland Sutton, Mims, who he just drafted. That's an actual Sean Payton guy. Mm-hmm. And now they just added a veteran like Josh Reynolds, getting a decent chunk of change for a guy signed this late into the free agency period. Hank, how do you see that changing things?
It's tough because there's just more variables than you... Like, if all goes well, then of course you don't add one. Because Courtland Sutton just is coming off a 10-touchdown season. So say, like, if all goes well, he's getting 10 touchdowns again. Tim Patrick, if all goes well, he's a 700-yard receiver again.
Yeah.
If all goes well, Marvin Mims is a freak. You know, he's so fast. Like, we saw... Mm-hmm. Per play that he was the most productive receiver on the Broncos roster last year.
Man, when he was out there, it was fun.
Exactly. So if all goes well, that translates. Josh Reynolds, if all goes well, he's getting you six. So if all goes well, you don't need another receiver. But then you just get into the concerns of, well, is Josh Reynolds really that guy? Because he has 2 600-yard seasons in 8 years. Like, Courtland Sutton, is the 10 the fluke, or is the couple years before that the fluke? Tim Patrick, the back-to-back injuries, Marvin. So I don't think you can take receiver off the board, but I don't look at it as a need. And I think that's true of just about the entire Broncos roster.
LJH is back, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have great depth pieces. Like, great as in they all have a purpose, a reason to put him out there. Lil Jordan Humphrey, you're going heavy. You want to give somebody a snap off. He's one of the better blocking receivers in the NFL. Let him go do that.
Yeah, snap you off a piece, LJH.
Yeah, as a fifth receiver, there you go. That's like he has his old niche. Same thing like Jalen Virgil, Brandon Johnson. Like, they don't need a receiver. Same way, like, I don't think they need an offensive lineman. Maybe center, you can make the case. They might not need a tight end because they brought Troutman back. You have Dulcich, which gives you some hope.
Center, tight end, and quarterback are where it's more like.
Maybe you do.
Most teams, if that was their roster, might need one, yes.
But I think they've done enough across the roster outside of quarterback to be able to say, we can go best player available, and that's a sound strategy.
Yep.
And if you really need to after the draft, you say we've got the two young guys we like at center but are unproven, you can find some veteran out there who you can sign for cheap and bring into camp and let compete. And I receiver falls in that category for me as well. Like, they've done enough, but it'd be fun if they added another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can obviously see why.
Round receiver.
Yeah?
Yeah, because to me the question is if – between Sutton, Tim Patrick, and Reynolds, if I set the line at 1.5, over under 1.5 are back in 2025 out of those three. Do you have two of them back?
Probably.
I'd say
I'd
yes.
Take the over. If you set it at 2.5, I'd take the under.
Having Sutton and Patrick, having Sutton and Reynolds under contract is the tiebreaker. Like, you could definitely get off those contracts.
Yeah, I think you move Sutton.
And
you could.
You still could now. Yeah. Like, I don't think if you're going rookie quarterback, you do.
Year two under Sean Payton will be very telling.
Yes. But I do think there's a case to be made that with Reynolds, you really could if you wanted to.
Bigger need, tight end or center?
Center. Center. Tight end or center, Hank?
I'll go center. It's tough. Like, Greg Dulcich still being a prospect is the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You have a young guy who could pop.
You can talk yourself into it.
But also, could either of those other centers pop? And what does a center pop even look like? And what does it look like if you don't have a good center? Like, you're double teaming 75% of the time you're on the field anyway. So, like,
I think Broncos fans know what it looks like if you don't have a good center. Yeah.
When we tried to run the ball the last couple of years.
It's like Cushenberry. Yeah. But was maybe that, not last year, but the
was that Cushenberry or was that Reisner?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
I love it. Draft props, boys?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quarterbacks to go round one. These are all at Bet365. Over 4.5 minus 200. So we think Penix is going round one. The we think Penix is going round one crew feels good unless you tell me, well, of course it's over 4.5. Bo Nix is a lock to go round one. But regardless, the book says it's not just the four who we assume, Kayla Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, in whatever order. It's five.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I'm going over for sure. Over 4.5?
Yeah. I would easy go over as well.
I would go over for Nix, and I think Penix has a chance to
over
sneak in, too.
Over is minus 200, so, yeah, like, we agree. Sense. But I'm that just saying, sense. Like, anyone who thinks Penix isn't going round one, I don't, like...
I might take the over on 5.5.
I've got
a
bet I would give you.
If there was a little juice there, I'd take the over on 5.5.
Really?
Because I think Nix is in, and I think after today, Penix might be, too. So if you give me a little juice to get me going, I could... I could see it. I'd be tempted at the very least.
Interesting.
If there was a little juice, I'm 5.5.
I think it'd be more for five and like a half. The value play. I think it makes more sense because you do have the fluky scenario where the two quarterbacks fall and surprise us. But
so that's the thing, like thinking you can get Penix in round two. As you said, it's a 5-quarterback draft. You got to move up and get it done. Wide receivers, the line is set at 6.5, and the overs mine. No, the under is -200. Can we get 7 and get some value on a +160 bet?
The first round?
There are 4 locks, right? Well, there used to be 4 locks. There are 3 locks. Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze. I'd say Brian Thomas is our 4th lock. Yeah,
definitely.
I think one more is easy peasy to come.
I think one of the Texas guys probably goes first round.
Right, or Xavier Leggett, whatever.
Yeah.
I think McConkey's got a chance to more? Go late first round.
McConkey, Leggett, Keon Coleman, yeah. Troy Franklin.
Somebody fall in love with the Malachi Corley. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Over's probably safe. I get worried about a scenario where...
Over's safe at +165. 7, round 1.
See, I think the over's probably the move. I mean, you look at the... Like, Troy Franklin to the Chiefs feels so easy. You know? Like, there's so many teams, I think, late that you could look at and be like, receiver's a good call. But the one thing that concerns me is that you have a big 3, and those are all going to be off the board early. And then there's just so many receivers after that that teams could look at it and be like... Why could not just draft a guy in the 3rd round?
Yeah, I'll who's get going Jermaine to be awesome. Burton in the 4th.
Exactly. Of, and know. And that's what I would do if I was one of those teams. I wouldn't take a Troy Flink. I wouldn't take a Xavier Worthy. Brian Thomas I would. Like he should be a 1st rounder. But that's what scares me is that I wouldn't take them, and so it's tough for me to make the bet.
I'm going under.
Yeah. That's well set.
I think just barely.
I think the depth gets you.
I think if it comes down to it, I think there'll be a couple teams that go, you know what, let's take the tackle here and let's take the receiver in the 2nd round.
Or the corner. Don't we see that every year?
For the run of tackles and corners.
Yeah. Yes.
20 to 32. Exactly.
And you have those edge rushers too.
It's when you see like, oh shit, I didn't expect that guard to go. Like that was 50 picks higher than I had. Because that GM's like, shit, there were literally
when the 3 drafts.
Right guards. Yes. Yeah. What was his name?
Oh God. With the hair. So there was a C. Cody Mock?
Cole Strange.
Cole Strange. Damn it.
UC chat.
Chattanooga.
UT Chattanooga. God represent. Bless you, Cole Strange, and all your endeavors in life.
Yeah, Cody Mock was 48. But damn it.
Because then, you know, like, that's where the O-line coach starts to be like, guys, there were 3 draftable right guards that fit our scheme. Could we just take the top one now? You have 20 wide receivers there.
Yep.
15 of them will work.
Right, yeah. Exactly. The O-line number's an all-timer. 9.5 to go round 1. 9.5, boys. Settle down. 5 locks at tackle. Joe Alt, Troy Fatanu, Taliasi Fuaga, Olufashanu.
Latham?
J.C. Latham. Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, 6'7". Are they locks?
Mims is going first round.
6 locks.
Wow.
Guyton and Morgan, I'm a little more...
That's fair.
They're not locked.
That's fair.
But they're, I mean...
So we've got 6 tackles.
They should be like 22, 23, you know? Like they should
in
be.
In round 1?
I think so.
22 old.
No. Oh. I think those guys should be going like early 20s.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a lock that they go.
We also got JPJ. He's going first.
Let's go inside. Exactly. JPJ, Graham Barton. Lock?
Yep.
The Duke left tackle? Look, maybe not locked. He played left tackle for Duke and he can play all 5 positions on the O-line. To me, he's a lock. Okay. I've got 8.
And BB, I think BB goes first round.
Cooper BB?
You can see it.
I fucking love Cooper BB's
tape. I love him,
tape, dude.
I don't care. Like, he's one of those dudes.
Colorado,
he's just
going.
Yeah, he's just going to go mall.
Where's he from?
I think the slope, like a lot of those Kansas State guys.
He's just a square body. Look at
those farm boys.
Square body. The balance is always right. He's leaning on you. They're not. But I've got 8. I probably feel better about the tackles than I do BB, like a Guyton, like a Morgan.
At least one of those three goes with the other guys that we have.
Right. My boy, Kingsley Sumatia. And then there could be a surprise, right, interior guy who I'm like, shit, I don't have. You know, like I saw, I think it was Miller's mock who had Roger Rosengarten, the right tackle from Washington in round one. So the over is plus 120. It's a big number. But if we're taking the under on wide receiver, I think this is an over.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That would line up. It's one, if you either play the receivers, you play the O-line.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be? And to me, O-line's a no-brainer this year when you look at, because so many of these guys, it's just like, yeah, he's going to be solid.
Yep.
Yeah. He's going to be solid.
Right.
Plug and play 5 years.
You're good. Exactly right. And we have such an O-line problem in the league.
Exactly.
And coaches are being honest about it. I mean,
no
you look
receiver
at, like,
problem.
No.
You know, you look at some of these, like Harbaugh's interview was awesome. You know, everybody's like, they get so infatuated with the speed, and I get it, the skill guys, but it's, what's the one position that is solely dependent on itself? O-line.
Yep.
Right. Right. Now that we've done all those, over under offensive players, 20 and a half. We've got five quarterbacks, right? Did we say six? You told me six, Hank?
Yeah. I mean,
we think at least five, but we think it'll be six.
You give me plus six money on quarterbacks. Six, so I'm taking six.
We said six wide receivers, right? That puts us at 12.
10 offensive linemen.
We just said 10 offensive linemen.
So it'll be 22 right there.
I mean, you got
overs plus 120, boys.
Let's do it. Lock
it's
it
an
in.
Offensive league.
It is.
And Brock Bowers is going to be in there. I think you're a little heavy on the quarterbacks and O-line.
But I think, like you said, you're going to get a Bowers
but
in there.
But then we're at 20.
Do you get a running back in the late teen size? I don't think so this year either.
The odds are crazy to get a running back.
Is it really?
Well, who's here, let me find you. Running back, the number's just set at a half. Over's plus 11 hundo.
I was going to say, I don't even know who my running back one is. Corum, probably.
Would you like to place a bet on that? Because the betting favorite, crazy enough, is Jalen Wright, who ran the fast-ass 40 for Tennessee. Jonathan Brooks actually tied with Trey Benson at plus 300. They're the top three. Corum's plus 500 with Marshawn Lloyd. So pretty good odds. I think I'd take Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson.
Benson can fly.
Benson, yeah. Benson might be the move.
And then this one was the best of all. This is just Dre talking to his friends about bets he loves. This is a D lineman / edge drafted in the first round. They did it for us. D lineman / edge. Bet365. You are brave. Yes. You are brave. Good on you. 6.5, fellas. Over is plus 260 on this.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Turner?
My locks are Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Leitu Latu, Chop Robinson. That's four.
Yep.
Let's go on the inside. Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy. Locks? Johnny Newton, Henry's grimacing. Five locks.
Six.
I'm more of a Brandon Fisk than I am a Johnny Newton guy myself.
Yeah. We're talking about Jerzan Newton from Illinois.
Yeah, he goes by Johnny.
Does he go by Johnny?
Yeah,
it's like 50-50.
Thank God.
We've changed it.
Yeah, so I think it's just so hard for me to call a defensive tackle a lock to go in the first round. And Byron Murphy, he does it to me. He's got me convinced. Newton
makes me so proud. So early on that.
Yeah.
Murphy's going first round.
Five are locks.
Newton should. I mean,
do you just want a double OT? Sorry.
Let's go. Let's go, Pios. Well done.
Tavondre Sweat?
I don't
know.
Maybe.
Not too nosy?
Maybe. The NFL loves those guys way more than draft Twitter. I could see it.
There's just so few of them.
It's five locks, and first off, of those five locks, and I'm going to get edge or D-line denomination on all of them. Is Dallas Turner getting drafted as an outside linebacker, or are we safe?
He's edge. He's safe.
Okay.
Yep.
Darius Robinson, the three defensive tackles we just talked about.
Yep.
And then Braylon Trice, the Washington edge, Chris Braswell, the Bama edge. Adisa Isaac from Penn State, Jonah Ellis from Utah.
You'd be crazy to take one of those guys over whatever lineman's there.
And the three defensive tackles we mentioned.
Yeah. And you need two of those?
We need two of those.
I'd take
and
the over.
And just like we said with O-line, late first does become D-line country.
Definitely. I
say fuck it, take the over.
I'd say fuck it, take the over too. I mean, the juice is what does it.
Let's go.
The value alone
is juicy. Yeah, plus 260 is juicy.
I mean, they're probably telling us something here that's glaring that we're missing, but.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't think you get plus 260 if we're, you know what I mean? One of these guys we are really high on, the book is telling us, is not a first round pick.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be really fun to see the end of this this first man. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Broncos do. Yeah, are there any questions we missed or should hit up? Yes. Yeah, we got to this one earlier about Penix's 40. I love it, man. Leave us a thumbs up. This was great. Love to see how many people were watching. Tis our season, man.
Also, if anybody finds just a cut-up of every single one of Michael Penix Jr.'s runs, feel free to send it to me because I haven't been able to find one, and I would prefer to not do that work all by myself.
Oh, come on. We'll go to the game log. We'll find it easy peasy.
Yep. If it comes to that, it comes to that. But if you got the cut-up, let me know.
Send it to your boy. Also, tune in. Live streaming all night. Yes. March Madness.
I'm about to talk CSU too. Sticking for the Rams bye. Talking transfers, Mountain West power rankings, all that fun stuff. Coaching rumors.
Transfers in or out?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Thanks, guys. Best of luck. Thanks to Breck Brew for presenting us. Bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.